Will the internet be the death of English? That's a prediction we hear from a lot of critics. It's the most recent in a long line of dire complaints about the state of the English language. But our linguist, Jeff Nunberg, isn't so sure our language is in a state of decline. From one point of view, he says, the language is in better shape than ever.
In the stock market, being bearish hasn't been a very successful strategy these days. On the language market, though, it's always a sure thing. At any time in the past 400 years, you could claim that the language is falling apart in full confidence that you'll never get called on to cover your short positions. From Jonathan Swift to the current crop of Sunday supplement language pundits, commentaries on the state of the language are an unbroken stream of jeremiads and complaints. When you take the history of complaints as a whole, in fact, it can be a little perplexing. Surely those bears couldn't all have been right, or we'd be reduced by now to communicating in ursine grunts. But none of that shakes the faith of the current generation of critics. And to tell the truth, I have the same impression myself. I look around me, and the signs seem unmistakable that the language is in a bad way. I'm not talking just about the arcane rules of grammar that tell you when to use each other and one another, or what the difference is between in behalf of and on behalf of. Nobody knows that stuff anymore, not even the copy editors at the New York Times. But people seem to have lost their grip even on the simple things, like when to write its with an apostrophe. But are we really in worse shape than we used to be? Maybe it's just that I'm getting old and cranky. The fact is that complaining about the state of English has always been an old man's game. And I mean man. Curmudgeon is not a word we use of women. And it occurs to me that maybe there was just as much of this going around 20 or 30 years ago, but that I was merely too callow to notice it or too mellow to care. It would be a hard point to prove one way or the other. We don't actually expect the people who complain about the state of the language to document their claims the way we would if they were economists. The pronoun whom was off sharply last quarter, as the language was already reeling from a 37% increase in the use of office as a verb. Critics just assumed that most people knew how to write and spell correctly until things started to fall apart a generation or so ago. But maybe this is just an effect of the selectivity of literary memory. Whatever becomes of the general run of evil that men do, their bad writing is usually interred with their bones. We don't have to read the inter-office memos or popular journalism of earlier generations, and it can come as a shock when you rummage through a pile of old magazines at a garage sale and realize that the Saturday Evening Post was a lot worse written than People is. For that matter, we tend to forget how bad our own writing used to be. Here's a high-concept idea for a little language book. Somebody should publish a collection of the freshman compositions of John Simon, Edwin Newman, and William Sapphire, always assuming you could get them to give them to you. And yet, something has been changing over the years. It isn't that people are writing worse, but that they're writing more and spreading it about more widely. It's the effect that Jacques Barzin described 50 years ago as the endless multiplication of dufferism. On a per capita basis, we aren't producing a lot more novels or histories than we were in the 18th century. But there's been a huge growth in sectors like popular magazines, government pamphlets, press releases, and user manuals, most of them written by people who would not have been putting pen to paper in the age of Samuel Johnson. The internet is just the latest development in this process. People keep pointing out that the wonderful thing about the net is that anybody can post a message and reach a potential audience of millions. And anybody has been doing exactly that. The proportion of the population who sit down at a keyboard every day has probably increased tenfold over the past few years, a great number of them people whose writing used to be seen only on their refrigerator doors. They're people who were never able to spell very well, but over the telephone you couldn't tell. There are two ways to think about this. On the one hand, you could say that writing was generally better when there were fewer people doing it, the way major league pitching was better before league expansion. On the other hand, there's never been an age when the average person has written so much or so well. Writing is like whistling, after all. People tend to get better at it the more they practice. But even with the broad indexes up, I wouldn't look for the language bears to change their tune anytime soon. That's what makes language criticism different from economics. It never pays to be bullish.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center.